We're so happy you're joining us for our final segment of this iteration of Squawk 1200. My name is Farid Guillot, along with Paul Prydecker, who will be stepping aside after this segment, and then we'll meet again next year.
We're looking forward to it. We've had a great week, and we have a great show today, and our final segment is ATCNU, Maintaining Situational Awareness in Controlled Airspace. Air traffic controllers Tara Zack and Jacob Elmer have joined us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, situational awareness in controlled airspace, is it different than situational awareness in uncontrolled airspace?
Well, gosh, I hope not.
What would you like our audience to know?
Well, when you're in controlled airspace, there can be a lot more going on. So,
sure.
It's just making sure that you're monitoring. Even if you're not talking to air traffic control, you want to make sure that you know whose airspace you're flying through. And if you're aware of where you're at, then if there is a conflict, even if you're not talking to us, we're going to call that traffic out to you. If we are aware that there's two VFR guys out there, they're squawking 1200, and neither one of them are talking to air traffic control, we've actually gone over this in our booth this week, is we're going to be still providing the separation. We don't know who you are. We don't know your call sign, but we're going to be able to say traffic that is 10 miles away from the Lexington Airport. You have traffic 1 o'clock, 5 miles, and so that way you know that there's going to be traffic coming up ahead. And you're not going to know that if you don't have the situational awareness.
I'm guessing one of the recommendations that you would have for the general aviation audience, especially the VFR pilot, is to get flight following. It seems like that would be a good piece of decision making to sort of help this process out.
Yeah, flight following is, we want to provide a service. We don't want to really restrict aircraft, and by having a flight following, the situational awareness is going to be exponentially higher. So, and a lot of people I know, they're either afraid to talk to ACC because they're just uncomfortable doing it because it's not something they do all the time. We talked to a lot of pilots this week who they said that they just they went to an uncontrolled airport, they did all the training there, and they never got used to talking to air traffic control. And so they're just nervous to call up, but we're not going to, we're people too, just call up.
You're some of the best people, actually. It's a team effort, of course, to, work within the National Airspace System. Terry, when we talk a little bit about, people being afraid, I mean, it sounds like it's an education process, right? Do you air traffic controllers have opportunities to educate the pilots about how to work together.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback off of what Jacob was saying, that's why we're here this week, and that's one of the main things we push every year is letting pilots know we want you to request flight following. We want you to be, like you said, a part of the team. You are a part of the team. And to see the big picture, you don't know the big picture if you're not monitoring and listening to us, and you don't know what somebody else is doing unless you're, but if you talk to us and you get that flight following, we can keep everybody on the same page. So absolutely.
Does your phraseology have to be perfect?
Negative. No. And honestly, that's even, if we pick that up as a controller, that's what we're trained to do, right? And we pick that up, then we're going to take that extra effort and time to take care of you even better, probably, to make sure, because we can tell you're probably not as well versed on the frequency like some of the other pilots.
I'm an airline pilot, and I'm not afraid to say student pilot.
Absolutely, 100% all the time.
I do need to talk about your flair, because I think that you might be giving Nick a run for your money. So, those of you who are watching the video feed, this is why we do this. They're having a flare contest among their group, and I think that Tara, you may have.
I'm actually losing. I need
really?
Help. Yes, I need help at the NACA booth. Come bring Tara some bling. Yes.
How has the situational awareness been on the arrival feeds in here? Have you been talking to some of your brethren who are assigned to the tower?
So I actually have a couple of friends that are there, and they said that some of the people that I've talked to, it's been pretty busy and the numbers are great this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's anything that they haven't seen in the past, but it's always, a sight to see. I don't really think that I can speak to what mm-hmm. they've been seeing, though.
What's a good way for someone to kind of mimic what you have to do in the tower or in the radar room as far as drawing that 3D picture while they're in the airplane to work on that essay?
I think that's a better question for you. That's what I'm curious about. What do you looking at, and what do you see And what do you need from me to help you get that full picture?
I would say that whenever we y'all are in the air, when we're painting pictures, we're all just regurgitating whatever the pilots are seeing. So if you give us a good picture of what's going on, it's almost usually verbatim what we've related to y'all. So if you relate it, however it would be easiest for y'all to hear the information, you relay it that way, and that's what everybody else is going to hear.
And, of course, there's a technological impact to all this, too. I mean, not too long ago, we didn't have ADS-B. I was flying when LORAN was actually a big thing, and then, you know, that migrated to GPS and now ADS-B. Has that really been a game changer for this relationship?
Oh, I love ADS-B. You know how awesome it is to just go, oh, that's that guy out there, and just I can give a call in the blind for those who don't want to get the flight following, or if sometimes we talk too fast, sometimes y'all talk too fast, and I'll just catch a couple of the numbers. I can click that and get that full call sign quick and easy.
Yep.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hearback, readback issues. I've been in the training environment for a long time, and we talk about hearback, readback issues. Some people have the feeling, I think, that they have to say every word that you said to them with the punctuation marks included precisely. What do you really care about in a clearance? What is it? Just read back the numbers, those sorts of things? Is that what we're looking for?
Well, whenever it's a clearance, yeah, usually I would like to hear the whole clearance to make sure it's all there. If you're getting an IFR clearance, once you're in the air and you're flying, we want to hear whenever you have the right altitude. Mm-hmm. We're looking for that. If you're on the ground getting ready to depart, making sure that you have your hold short instructions, those are mandatory. So we want to make it. You might hear air traffic control say 3 or 4 times, hold short of any particular runway, because we need to hear that readback.
You need to hear that.
Because if we're giving a hold short instruction, there's a reason. There's probably an aircraft that's landing. So we need to make sure that we get those. And lastly, is any runway assignments or any control instructions.
Speaking of ground operations, I mean, you can have situational awareness problems on the ground just as easily as you can in the air. I mean, I've taxied in O'Hare before. I know what that's like. What are the capabilities of TRACONs? Do all of them have the ability to see the traffic on the ground on their scopes?
No, on the ground, we're not going to see aircraft, not in the TRACON. Working at an up-down. There are some facilities that have a ground radar for the tower. For the TRACON, that we're not going to know that you're, you know, anything that's going on there.
Okay, so it's really a tower function.
Yeah, it is a tower function.
Yeah. Okay.
I was kind of interested in when someone's calling up, and can you tell that they may not be able to kind of figure out or they're overwhelmed?
Absolutely. Yeah. We pick up on that. I think we're really good at picking up on that. And something just to continue with what you were talking about, situational awareness on the ground and things we need to improve on is when we talk about safe, orderly, and expeditious, sometimes the safest thing is to slow down. Get your bearings, ask, say again, and trust but verify.
Sure.
I love telling my pilots, trust but verify, and my trainees, my controllers, because that's what we do. And in order so that there's not that wrong surface landing or you don't turn on the wrong runway or the wrong taxiway, take a minute and make sure that you've gotten everything you need.
One of the things that Paul and I have worked together in the training environment quite a bit, and one of the things we always say, build time. And I think pilots sometimes feel like there is no slowing down because you've asked them to do this or that. How can you assure us?
So are you asking like what can you do for
it's okay to ask for more time?
Yes. We talked about this week in our classes. Stand by. Mm-hmm. If a pilot asks a controller to stand by, that makes everybody take a pause. That's a great word to use. Or say again. Mm-hmm. Just that easily.
And sometimes I've had controllers say stand by to me because I think I'm the only one out in the sky, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, every pilot
thinks sky.
That. Yeah, of course. What about your own recurrent training? Is it, what's the frequency for recurrent training for controllers?
Oh, we do training. We do lots of recurrent training throughout, like in-house in our individual facilities on areas that we identify. And then we also have recurrent training that is done twice annually. So we have recurrent training that
that's
we would accomplish.
Regulatory, I suppose.
Oh, well, we're going to be doing it with FAA at least twice a year.
Yeah.
And a certain, I found that certain facilities are once again having outreach and tours again.
Yes, it's awesome that we're getting back to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so there's chances just to kind of commiserate with the controllers.
Everybody listening, go visit your air traffic control towers. We want to see you. Let's put some faces to those voices.
And there's also employment opportunities, I know.
Yep.
Because you're trying to cover the shortage of controllers.
Yes, should be some hirings going on, hopefully soon.
And to stop in and see the National Air Traffic Controllers Association and the people and the professionals that work there, where are you at in the field?
We're right under the tower, so if you just look for the tower, you can see it pretty from anywhere.
It's one of the easiest wayfinding.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Tara, I hope that you win the flare contest.
So do I.
And when is that? Concluding on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's going to be some sort of pageant to see who is the winner. Our guests have been Tara Zach and Jacob Elmer. They are both air traffic controllers talking about situational awareness in controlled airspace. Ball? It's been great working with you this year.
You as well, Fareed. We'll look forward to doing it next year.